book, the right question to ask is, how can I be faithful in all situations at all times and in all cases of adversity? So I can't remember a word of what that person said in the sermon, but I've taken their title, God Calls Us to Be Faithful, Not Successful, as a subject for today's time of thought and reflection. So what's the difference between faithful and successful? If you pull the dictionary off the shelf, successful defines as being prosperous, flourishing, achieving outcomes. So not bad things, but when you think about it, you're always successful at something. It's about me being successful at something. It's about our team being successful at something. It's quite individualistic, and success, failure are judged on the world's standards. And it's about getting recognition from the world. We feel good when we succeed. There's nothing wrong with that. But we get recognition from the world. We feel good with recognition from others. Faithful in the dictionary is defined as confidence and trust in God. And whereas we're successful at, we're always faithful to. We're faithful to somebody. And we as Christians are being called to be faithful to the Master. And the recognition doesn't come from the world. The recognition comes from God. God asks us to be faithful. And when we're faithful to him, we receive his blessings. So there's a real difference between being faithful and successful. But is success wrong? Well, it's interesting. Coming from the UK, one of the things Tanya and I really noticed when we came to New Zealand was we liked the lack of materialism. Outside Auckland, apologies to any Aucklanders, I don't think you find people trying to buy the flashiest car or build the most ostentatious house. Most in New Zealand were pretty middle of the road. But as you start to have a family, you just realise how deeply success is ingrained in our culture. It is a culture of success that we all operate in. Children start going to kindy, they have to start to learn things. They go to school. You've got exams, assignments, you get an A or you get a C. You start by teaching your kids to swim, and before you know it, they're in swimming competitions. You just wanted them to learn to be able to survive if they fell in water. But then it comes about swimming competitions. And those things are good. You enjoy them. It is a culture of success. Then we go on to university, and there's lots of pressure to pass assignments, to get grades, and then as soon as we've got that, there's pressure to succeed in finding a good job. And as soon as we've got the job, pressure to succeed in keeping to grow our skills, our experiences, and so on. And that world unconsciously shapes us. I thought Ruth's story about the person going to the subway was a wonderful example. It was a very confronting example of how we sit here each week and we say, All things come from you, O God, and of your own have we given you, which is a passage out of the Bible. And yet when someone asks Ruth to buy them a 12-inch subway rather than a 6-inch, you feel aggrieved about it. And we all knew we'd feel the same, yet we say each week, that's your money, God, it's not ours, so someone had just asked us to spend a bit more of God's money. What's the problem? Our kids are always quite happy to spend our money if we go out for dinner, right? When they come back from university, are you paying or we're paying? Oh, you're paying, that's fine. And surely it should be the same with us, that we've got God's money. Oh, we're just spending a bit more of God's money. But the world's success culture unconsciously shapes us very, very deeply. As I was contemplating and reflecting on this, I thought, well, the obvious passage that must talk about success in the Bible must be the one about the talents, where one of the servants took the 5 bags of silver and turned them into 10. That's a pretty good rate of success. So I read that story as Alan just read for us. And the master didn't say, well done, successful servant, at all. He said, well done, faithful servant. Because the servant wasn't trying to look good for themselves. They were trying to be faithful to the master, to do the best they possibly could for the master. And in fact, when you read the whole of the New Testament, The word success isn't mentioned a single time in the New Testament. In contrast, faith's mentioned tens and tens of times. So out of that, I would take that success doesn't really matter to God. It doesn't matter to God. It's a worldly concept. Sure, God wants us to enjoy our life. He wants us to make the most of the gifts that he's given us. But God doesn't see us succeeding or failing in the world. He simply calls us to be faithful. And whether your business is a success or whether it's a failure, God doesn't mind, as long as you've been faithful throughout to his word, his promises. Whether you pass your exam or you fail your exam, it doesn't matter to God. What matters is that you're faithful and we're faithful, and that God will open a new door for us. I think Paul puts it really beautifully, better than I could ever put, in Galatians 1 verse 10. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of God. So it is very hard, as Paul said, it's almost impossible to try to please people and be a servant of God. First and foremost, we have to strive to be faithful. And as we are faithful, success, things may fail and they may succeed, but it doesn't matter. If we're faithful, then we're doing what God asks us to do and what he created us to do. So what does faithful look like? Years ago, Tanya used to work at Homer Compassion down in Island Bay when they run a hospital there. And once a year, they'd have a Christmas function. And we get to meet some of the old nuns, and they were wonderful people. And you could really sense that deep faith. Now, by the world's standards, locking yourself away in a life of solitude to serve God isn't success. Yet they had something that you could just sense was deeply, deeply spiritual and are really admired. So faith, being faithful is really noticeable. It's also one of the fruits of the Spirit. As I read the New Testament and the Old Testament, thinking about that faithfulness this week, there's a huge amount in the Bible that talks about God's faithfulness to us. And it reminded me of the sermon last week when Ruth spoke about the covenant, how covenant's two-way. So if we want to know what it means to be faithful to God, a great way to start is by looking at what God's faithfulness means to us. As I read the Bible, there's some wonderful examples of faithfulness and how God is faithful. So in Lamentations, the faithful love of the Lord never ceases. It's a faithful love. Then another verse says, God's faithfulness never forsakes us. So faithfulness never forsakes. God's faithfulness towards us perseveres, despite what we do. So faithfulness perseveres. God's faithfulness guards us. Faithfulness guards. God's faithfulness honours his promises. God's faithfulness blesses. And then there's a couple of things about us as opposed to God's faithfulness. God asks us to be faithful in prayer. God asks us to be faithful in deeds. So we're not called to be successful in life, but we're called to be faithful in our love. Faithful and never forsake our trust in God. Faithful and persevere despite when we succeed or fail. Faithful and guard ourselves from evil. Faithful to the promises God's asked us to honour. Faithful and bless and worship God. Faithful in prayer and faithful in our deeds. Some wonderful examples God's given us of what faithfulness looks like. A couple of years ago, I read a book on youth optimism. It was about the optimistic child and about building teenage resilience. And it was written by a top academic from the USA, a top psychologist. And in there she talked about the ABC of resilience for young people. The A was for adversity, B for beliefs, C for consequences. So what she was saying was when you face adversity, your beliefs determine the consequences. I read that and thought, oh, of course, that's exactly what happens as a Christian when you face adversity. our belief in the love, unending love of God, our belief that God knows the perfect way forward for us, those beliefs determine our consequences, that we trust God. And what was really fascinating in this book, she then went on to say that in all of her research around the globe, she had come to the conclusion that the reason there is such a challenge amongst young people today was because the number one topic on the list was because they'd lost a belief in a greater person, that there was no longer any belief in God amongst young people. And when you think about that, if you don't have a belief in God, what do you believe in? You believe in success and failure. So our young people in a secular world are taught that you succeed or you fail. So when we hit adversity and we fail an exam, our belief system says, I've failed. Where's the future? And I think there's a massive challenge for us, whether as parents, grandparents, or community, to, as we celebrate our kids' successes as they grow up, to balance that with making sure we're absolutely teaching them the beliefs, the faith, our faith, and the beliefs and the promises of God. Because they're way more important than the successes and failures. School were teaching them about success and failure, so was sport. It's incumbent on us to teach those fundamental beliefs that when you hit adversity in life, God will protect you. God will lead you through. God will give you the strength you need to succeed, not to succeed, but to flourish in as a child of God. So those beliefs and that our Christian values are absolutely critical. And also as adults, as we go into adulthood, when we face challenges in the workplace, do we sit back and really rely on God's promises? Do we reflect on the faithfulness God asks us to, that when we hit those challenges, when our business struggles, when our career's struggling, that we sit back and say, actually, that's secondary. What matters is faithfulness. How am I demonstrating faithful love in my workplace? How am I honouring the promises of God? How am I being faithful in deeds, faithful in prayer? Really, really important things to ask. So in conclusion, I'd like to go back and finish with another story. This time it's a story about Paul. And Paul, once at the start of his life, when he was a young adult, he was one of the at the pinnacle of society. He was one of the highly respected senior people in the society. He came from a business family. He was wealthy. And he ended his life in prison, relying on charity from other people, and ultimately dying for his faith. And when you look at it from a world's perspective, what could be a more prominent example of someone falling from the pinnacle of respect and achievement in their community to, if you like, ending up in prison? What a fall from success to, if you like, a failed life. Yet, what we know about Paul, his life was anything but a failure. It was an incredible blessing to many, many, many generations. And Paul said himself, what I've learned from being faithful is I've learned to be content in all situations. And that's what happens when we face adversity. With our beliefs, they determine the consequences. And just like Paul, if we really discover what it means to be faithful, then we can discover true contentment in God and true contentment in our relationship with the Father. And it's a contentment. Society is so devoid of contentment. Contentment is a wonderful gift that comes from God. And we can experience it just like Paul. God wants to give it to us today. One of my favourite hymns is On an Old Rugged Cross, and in there it's got this wonderful verse just to finish with that says, content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss, my sinful self my only shame, my glory all the cross. Don't need to be ashamed if you fail exam, if your business fails, if you fail at sport. Your sinful self is our only shame, but our glory is all the cross. So as we go into this week, let's just reflect on how God calls us to be faithful, not successful.